That was so prayerful. Thank you so much. During the French Revolution, there were three Christians who were sentenced to die by the guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith, the other had the gift of prophecy, and the other had the gift of helps. The Christian with the gift of faith was to be executed first. He was asked if he wanted to wear a hood over his head. He declined and said he was not afraid to die. "I have faith that God will deliver me," he shouted bravely. His head was positioned under the guillotine with his neck on the chopping block. He looked up at the sharp blade, said a short prayer, and waited confidently. The rope was pulled, but nothing happened. His executioners were amazed and believed that this must have been an act of God, and they freed the man. The Christian with the gift of prophecy was next. His head was positioned under the guillotine blade, and he too was asked if he wanted the hood. "No," he said, "I am not afraid to die. However, I prophesy that God will deliver me from this guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled, and again, nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioners assumed this must be another miracle of God, and they freed the man. The third Christian, with the gift of helps, was next. He was brought to the guillotine and likewise asked if he wanted to wear a hood. "No," he said, "I'm just as brave as those other two guys, so I will lie face up and see the blade before me." The executioners then positioned him face up under the guillotine and were about to pull the rope when the man stopped them and said, "Hey, wait a minute. I think I just found the problem with your guillotine." The poor man obviously didn't have the gift of wisdom. He needed somebody else to come along to help him out of that. Today is Pentecost, the day we celebrate the birth of the community of the church, the day we remember Jesus' promise that in his leaving, none of us would be left alone. We are never alone. That although Jesus could no longer carry on his purpose of bringing the kingdom of God as it is in heaven to the earth, that we would become his physical body on the earth. We who would come after him would become a part, a member, like an ear or an eye, a heart, hands, and feet. And that in order to carry on Jesus' ministry, that each of us would receive within our hearts the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through that gift of the Holy Spirit, we would be given spiritual gifts from God that would be used for the common good. And that the sharing of these spiritual gifts with one another, in the sharing of them, in gentleness and patience, would maintain the peace and the unity of the community of faith. This promise of God gifting the people with spiritual gifts was so important to the church that Paul writes about it in at least three letters to three different house churches that Paul established throughout the Mediterranean, in Greece, in Italy, and in Turkey. He writes about the importance of these spiritual gifts for the building up of the body of Christ to the church in Corinth, to the church in Rome, and to the church in Ephesus. It's obvious from these three letters that there had been much conflict and dissension and competing agendas in each of these house churches he had founded. And so he writes to remind them that they are to respect and honor the spiritual gifts that God has given to each of the people in the church, and that these spiritual gifts are to be used for the common good. That no one person is more important or less important than another, but that all persons and all gifts are equally important and to be respected and shared among one another for the purpose of the common good, for the peace and unity of the body as it works together to be a help in the world. Because if the church is in conflict, it does no good in helping the world. In Paul's letter to the church in Greece, in Corinth, which is 80 kilometers west of modern-day Athens, he reminds the house church that they have been given spiritual gifts for the building up of the body and that all of the gifts are to be used for the common good. In Paul's letter to the church in Rome, in Italy, Paul reminds them they should not think of themselves more highly than they ought, that each member of the community has a different function in the community and that they have all been given spiritual gifts to carry out their function. If you are a leader, he says, be diligent. Don't give up. Be conscientious and hardworking. If you are compassionate or have the gift of mercy, be cheerful in the giving of that. If you are a giver, be generous. If you are a minister, help, because that's all what a minister is. It just means to help. If you are a teacher, then teach. If you offer a prophetic voice, then trust your vision. If you are an encourager, then encourage. And in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, he reminds the people there to use their spiritual gifts for the purposes of peace and unity. And to use their spiritual gifts, how? With humility and with patience, bearing with one another in love and not giving up on each other. Why? Until all are fully mature as Christ was mature in the likeness of God. Paul is reminding us that when we don't use our God-given spiritual gifts, or when we don't use our spiritual gifts in the spirit of generosity and cheerfulness and patience and gentleness with one another and with respect, then the body of the church can't function and it becomes ineffectual and it suffers. So Paul is reminding the church that we need to trust one another to use the gifts that God has given each member of the community of faith for the common good. All of the gifts are to be received and given in love. And if we fail to do that, Paul reminds us we will cease to be effective in doing Christ's work on the earth. So Paul's three letters this morning on this day of Pentecost encourage us to share all of our spiritual gifts with one another for the common good. That every gift among us is necessary and invaluable and essential. And as you and I know, in this time that we are living, when people struggle, if there is even a creator, or when they struggle to understand what Jesus was all about, and as the Christian church loses membership in the Western world, the contemporary church cannot afford one person to withhold or deny or not share our spiritual gifts with one another for the common good. So what are those spiritual gifts that came in gusts of powerful winds of transformation and fiery passion and infused the people at Pentecost that Paul is talking about? What spiritual gifts has God blessed each of you with? There are many lists out there. And David Ewart is a retired United Church minister in BC, and he's named 22 God-given spiritual gifts to be used for the common good that are all named in Scripture. So I'd like to share his list with you as we go through these spiritual gifts. And as we go through them, as we did with some of them with the children, I'd like you to reflect on, is that my gift? Which are the gifts are mine? Which is my gift mix? How do they all work together? So I've put them in alphabetical order. For those of you who like lists, those of you who like to be organized and systematic. So the gift of assisting, or in other words, it's also used as helping or ministry. The gift of crafting, being able to create something from nothing. Creativity, gift of music or of dance or of acting or of painting, of crafting, of knitting prayer shawls. The gift of discernment, being able to discern right from wrong, the right path, the wrong path, the path where our trouble might lead. Encouragement, giving the gift of courage to keep on keeping on. The gift of evangelism, sharing with someone, this is what my faith means to me. God loves you. The gift of faith, trusting that it's going to turn out, trusting that God is with us. The gift of giving, that generous gift that people give, that have been blessed with so much and so want to give and share. The gift of hospitality, wanting everyone to feel welcome and belonging, to feed people. Justice, being able to bring about equity and equality and fairness in an unfair situation or world. Knowledge, that person who can just, who researches and researches and learns and grows and is able to then just share their knowledge at the right time in the right moment, and it's like, oh yeah, that's right, this person is saying that. The gift of leadership, the one who is able to gather people together. The gift of mentoring, to walk and companion with someone and to help guide someone. The gift of mercy, of compassion. You just have a heart for all those who are in suffering. Multiculturalism, the gift of one who is able to bring all differences and diversity together and see the common, what they share in common, to respect and recognize and honor diversity in all of its forms, whether it's of religion or of color or of background, to see the oneness, the unity in all of it. The gift of organization, that wonderful gift of being able to organize everything together, being able to bring it all together and make it happen. The gift of prayer. A lot of people who have the gift of intercession or prayer don't realize they have a gift. I have a friend with a gift of prayer. And I said, you realize that your gift of praying for people when you go to bed every night is a gift. She said, doesn't everybody do that? No. It's a gift. The gift of prophecy, being able to see trouble on the horizon, the warning. David Suzuki being able to see we're headed for disaster. He was telling us that 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. The gift of prophecy, being able to warn the people of what's ahead. The gift of service, of wanting to give, of wanting to share, of wanting to serve. The gift of teaching, being able to pass on understanding, to be able to bring forth understanding from those they are teaching, aha, and moments of insight and growth. The gift of vision, being able to see what is possible, what, using the gift of imagination to see what dreams would be possible, what goodness can we accomplish here. The gift of wisdom, of being wise in how we get there with the vision. All those gifts are needed. Now, none of us are gifted by God with just one gift. We are given a few gifts to work together to accomplish our purpose on the earth. And I want to give you an example. There was a woman I knew from another church. And when we did the spiritual gifts inventory, she went, oh, now I get it. Because now I see my gift mix. She said, I had the gift of teaching and of mercy and of knowledge, and I was trained as a teacher, and I had the skills for teaching, and I had a passion to work with junior high kids, which is a high calling. She said, but I gave up on teaching. And she said, it's because I didn't recognize my gift mix. She said, because all of these kids that were struggling and in trouble would come to me and talk over their problems of what was going at home. And I had the gift of mercy, and I just wanted to rescue all of them. And she wanted to counsel them. She wanted to mentor them. And here she was. She said, I didn't want to pass on teaching. I wanted to mentor them because out of my mercy. She said, I should have been a counselor in the school system, not a teacher. Ah, right place. Not using my gifts to the fullest potential. Another young woman, she was a teenager, and I gave this spiritual gifts inventory. I kind of simplified it and gave it to a youth confirmation class that I've been working with for a year. And the girl started to cry. She said, I don't want to fill this inventory in. What if I have no gifts? I said, you have an abundance of gifts. Just fill it in. Well, the next week she came in, she was so pumped. She said, I have the gift of mercy. No, I didn't know that was a gift. That's why all my friends come to me and tell their problems to me. And I try to help them. I mentor them. And she said, I think I have the gift of healing. The gift of healing, the gift of mentoring, the gift of mercy. She became a nurse. Spiritual gifts, plus training and education, plus the passion of where you want to be, equals our calling. This is really teeny weeny, because I couldn't get it all on one slide. So I'm going to pray that I remember. This is our ministry wheel. This is our wheel of giftedness. These are the 9 ministries of Knox United Church, and they are suited as the body of Christ. If you were to put the body of Christ on top of that wheel, spiritual formation and worship in the arts are on the top. They are connecting with sacred source. The green, the blue to the left, and the pink and the red are reaching out. They are the hands of Christ reaching out, healing, people resources, social justice and outreach, fun family and friends about friendship. They are the hands. And then you have the feet. You have the support grounded in the earth, our resources, our financial resources, our property resources, our human resources, our communication. These are the support beams of the other 5 ministries. So in ministry of worship and the arts, which is the purple up above, there we need the gifts. Sandy, you can read them. Creativity and leadership in worship and the arts. And this is not exhaustive because all the gifts are needed in all the ministries, but these are the ones that stand out as necessary in the ministry of worship and the arts. Creativity and leadership. Going to the left, Sandy, the ministry of spiritual formation. Going around to the green, Jesus the healer, healing and pastoral care. Going down to Jesus the leader, ministry and personnel. Jesus, the life giver for the ministry of stewardship and finance. Giving faith. Jesus, the host for the ministry of sacred spaces. Crafting. Going up to Jesus, the messenger in the ministry of communication. Evangelism. For Jesus, the friend and joy maker for the ministry of fun family and friends. For Jesus, the social prophet for the ministry of social justice and outreach. And it was Jesus, the mystic for worship, ministry of worship of the arts, and Jesus, the teacher under the ministry of spiritual formation. The council leadership of this community of faith, at the top needs at least one of the four of these spiritual gifts. If you are to be on council, you should have at least one of these spiritual gifts. Leadership, because you're willing to lead. Service, because you want to offer that service. The gift of organization, because you're a good organizer. The gift of vision, because you know and think what could be possible to lead us forward into the future. When you and I receive the gifts of all these ministries, because we benefit from the gifts of these folks, when we benefit from each nine of these nine ministries, they lead to our maturity and wholeness as people of faith, as holy people, as whole people. Worship in the arts helps us connect to God. The ministry of spiritual formation grows us spiritually. The ministry of healing and pastoral care heals the wounds from our past and in our personality. When I am feeling a need for belonging and acceptance, we need the ministry of fun, family, and friends. When I am contributing and helping the world to be a better place, I'm working through the ministry of social justice and outreach. When I am sharing my financial resources to help others and being a good and responsible steward of create resources, I'm benefiting and giving to the stewardship and finance ministry of this church. When I'm helping this place to be a welcoming and inviting place to be, I am in fun family and friends. When I'm encouraging and guiding the paid leaders to lead, I'm serving on the ministry and personnel team to help all the personnel, all the leaders, to be accountable, to grow, and to be guided and encouraged. When I'm sharing the good news of my faith, I can be in the communications ministry, getting it out there about Knox United Church and about what's happening here. When we utilize this ministry wheel, when we access the ministry of all these ministries, we are grown into the fullness and the stature of Jesus the Christ, and we experience our souls as whole. The church in the world needs another Pentecost. We need another infusion of the Holy Spirit to blow through this community of faith and lift our spirits. You are an amazing, amazing spirit-filled community of faith. There's not a bad apple among you. And you are richly blessed with all of these, an abundance of spiritual gifts. And I know many of you are getting older, and you don't always have the energy or the health you used to have. But the Spirit of God is alive and well in you. And God still needs us to work together for the common good, that we might accomplish our mission to build community that cares, shares, and dares, and that lives out our values of compassion, inclusion, joy, and spirituality. I'm always astounded by this community of faith. When you hear a call for help, you're right there. Right there with help for refugees. Right there for help with a homeless person. Right there for help with a concert. Right there to help with fall fair. And right now, our community of faith is struggling to find people to serve in leadership positions in some of our ministries. Fun, family, and friends needs a new leader with the gift of hospitality. People who are filled with joy and playfulness and want nothing more than for everyone to feel a sense of belonging and friendship with each other in this place. Stewardship and finance needs someone with leadership, gifted with faith and giving, to lead this wonderful and creative, visionary group. This team is amazing. Ministry and personnel need someone with spiritual gifts of wisdom and discernment and encouragement to guide them. Social justice and outreach needs someone gifted with leadership and a passion for justice and prophecy to guide this amazing group of passionate transformers. If you're waiting for God to call you into leadership today, consider this God's call. The Spirit of God never leaves the church without all the spiritual gifts necessary it needs to function effectively as the body. In even some of the smallest gatherings of people, the smallest churches, I had a church of 12 people in rural Alberta when I was starting out, and they still had all 22 spiritual gifts that they needed to be that body. Each of you is needed. Each gift you bring is essential for the kingdom of God to become visible in Oceanside. If Knox United Church is to be recognized in Oceanside as the body of Christ, living and breathing here, with all of Christ's compassion and joy, then every one of us needs to share our spiritual gifts with one another and to recognize, celebrate, and honor the gifts that each one of us brings in a spirit of peace and unity. I know that the Spirit of God is alive and well in this place. And with the flames of faith burning within us, we can be renewed and enlivened and matured and made whole. So I pray this day that a new Pentecost blow through Knox, bringing about the peace and unity of all for the common good. May it be so. Amen. Please rise as we say together a new creed written by the United Church of Canada for the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.